I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the work of the Indiana Commission on Children. We're going to discuss the challenges Indiana faces in providing for and caring for our youngest citizens. My guests will be Department of Child Services Director Mary Beth Bonaventura, Indiana Supreme Court Justice Loretta Rush, and Indiana State Representative Rebecca Kubacki, a Republican from Syracuse. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881, email nolimits@wfyi.org, Facebook is No Limits WFYI, Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the work of the Indiana Commission on Children. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 1-866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi, and Twitter is WFYI. I am joined in the studio by two distinguished guests, starting with Director of Child Services, Mary Beth Bonaventura. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
It's good to have you here. Probably should explain you are battling a little bit of a flu bug there.
I am. So, sorry.
That's okay. There's a nice huskiness to the timbre.
Okay.
And we also are joined by Indiana Supreme Court Justice Loretta Rush. Justice Rush, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, why don't we start by talking, and we hope to be joined by State Representative Rebecca Kubacki a little bit later. Why don't we start first just by talking about what the Indiana Commission on Children is. It's a relatively new initiative, and providing some context about, you know, what its mission is, what the overview, and then we'll drill down to the real challenges. Justice Rush, why don't you get us started?
Sure. There was legislation that was enacted, signed by Governor Pence, but the concept of a children's commission has been going on for several years. But this year it was a direct result of the DCS study commissions that went on the summer before. But even before that, both Judge Bonaventura and myself come from the juvenile bench. We spent a lot of years on it, and we also worked a lot at the state level, and we were involved at the national level with regard to issues affecting kids that are in the system, kids that are harmed, and kids at risk. So when the study commission was looking at the issue with regard to the delivery of services, different agencies that work with children but they don't work collaboratively with children, we saw that their models around the country were doing better. So we met all three branches of government. Our Chief Justice appointed me to this concept as soon as I came on in November of 2012. So again, it was something we were working on. And so we met with legislators, Judge Bonaventura and I. We met 7:30 every Tuesday morning to sort of look at the legislation and what can we do better. You've got a child that's involved with the Department of Education. You have a child that's involved with the prosecutor's office, DCS, looking at the mental health issues, looking at sort of what are the evidence-based programs that are involved, and are we involved with that, looking at the numbers that are startling. We have more abuse and neglect in Indiana than the national average. I mean, our infant mortality is too high. We're, you know, looking at unmet mental health needs, substance abuse. So we came up with a commission. It's got specific charges. And we had asked that all of the agency heads and leadership from all three branches of government, the policymakers, come together so we could, one, educate each other on what we're doing, find better ways of doing it, and instead of dozens of different committees working on these issues, trying to bring them under as many as possible under one umbrella, and we've set up task force.
And Director Bonaventura, I think your cue. Justice Rush said that there were other states that were doing better. Which states were those, and what things were they doing better? I guess I'll toss in a third question on that. I've already given you two. The third one would be, you know, which ones did we look to as models then?
Well, as it relates to which states we look to as models, I can tell you that Justice Rush and I and others went to several different conferences around the country to do just that. The state court administration people, their group, had held conferences. In fact, we went to one in Austin, Texas. I think Texas has a pretty good model, as probably does New York and others. Probably Justice Rush can tell you more specifically than I can about each and every state that they may have looked at as a commission in preparation of coming on board with this commission in Indiana. But what they were doing that I think was really good was focusing specifically on children, all the different agencies that touch children, because I think what happens, as Justice Rush said, is oftentimes we duplicate efforts. So what we're doing in the Department of Child Services, they may be doing in the Department of Mental Health and Addiction. They might be doing in the Department of Education. None of us knows what the other is doing. So imagine that you've got a family that might be in crisis and might be stressed for a variety of reasons, poverty, addiction, domestic violence. And then we've got three different agencies coming at them with a variety of services that we expect them all to complete successfully, oftentimes doesn't happen successfully. And so this commission, and what we learned from commissions around the country, was that this is an effort to just focus specifically on children, making sure that we don't duplicate efforts, and recognizing, too, that no one agency, whether it's schools, whether it's a doctor, whether it's psychologists or the Department of Child Services, can do this alone.
So one of the challenges, I gather, and one of the charges for the commission really was to make sure to streamline services and make sure that they're delivered more efficiently, maybe get rid of some of the overlap so that there's increased authority, accountability, basically.
Right. I think that, you know, that's really, I think, a key, too, because when you've got a duplication of services, people get mixed signals and then they don't. It's not effective. So that's one of the reasons to do this. And the other, I think, what we're doing here in Indiana, which I think is different than, and Justice Rush can speak to this, probably different than any other state that we know of, is that all three branches of government have come together instead of this just being a judiciary function or an executive branch function or a legislative branch function. It's all three of us together to do this, to really identify in the state of Indiana what the services are that are needed. What services we don't have, and where in the state those services are needed. And so we've done mapping, and Justice Rush's office has been instrumental in lending staff to this effort to map around the state to see what drugs are being used in different parts of the state, what services there are to address those problems, and how are we going to effectively fill the gaps that exist.
We are talking about the Indiana Commission on Children here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI, and Twitter is WFYI. Well, we've established that the commission's there, it sounds like, for two overarching purposes. One, to streamline, get so that there isn't as much duplication of services. And also, it sounds like there's an information sharing component. But let's take it to the level of, you know, we've talked about a family that is at risk or has some exposure or some problem facing it, that a family with children. In what way does this commission help them? I'll start that with Justice Rush.
Let me just give you an example. You have an 11-year-old that's not going to school.
Mm-hmm.
There might be, or an 11-year-old runaway that's running away because there's sexual molestation going on or physical abuse or something. The child shows up in a truancy center or a detention center. How do we treat this child? Do we arrest this child and put the child through the delinquency system? Should the Department of Child Service get involved? Are they both getting involved? Is there mental health services available for this child? How do you get the different entities to talk and come up with a shared language? So one of the first things we set up was a cross systems youth task force, which is being head by Judge Pratt, who's a juvenile judge with a long, rich experience working with children, and Don Travis, who is with Department of Child Services, that was also the leadership within the state on probation, to come up with a protocol that we can implement statewide with regard to how do we deal with these, whose child is it. A couple of things that we're looking at. There's a lot of legislation that gets enacted, and then we deal with the legislation maybe on a reactive basis instead of a proactive. What legislation do we need to make the system easier to navigate? And there's also a school piece because the child's truant. Are we tracking, you know, things that we don't track right now? We don't track graduation rates of kids that have been in the system. So if you've been abused and neglected and involved in the foster care system in Indiana, what's the likelihood that you're going to graduate from high school? We know anecdotally about 3% maybe go to college. What can we do to work sort of front end on these cases instead of tail end on these cases to improve our graduation rates, see that the services are implemented on a preventative basis as early as possible so that, you don't see an 11-year-old in your courtroom in handcuffs?
We are talking about the Indiana Commission on Children here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Mark, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, you caught me a little off guard here. I actually was trying to get some information about a speaker the other day, Maurice Young, and his advocacy of the homeless. But I'm enjoying the show today, and I'm sorry, I don't have anything to offer. I was on hold thinking I was going to get that information.
Oh, so well, we will try to get that information to you. Thank you very much for calling and for listening.
Sorry. Thank you.
Certainly. Well, what we're talking about here is in terms of the impact of helping families. What has the commission identified as the most immediate challenges, the things that have to be dealt with first? Mary Beth Bonaventura.
I think that we've identified several things, but I think that what keeps cropping up at each and every one of our meetings and our executive meetings is drug addiction in the state of Indiana. And to that end, we've established a drug task force to identify what types of drugs are really plaguing the citizens of Indiana, and what parts of our state are they the heaviest, and what can we do as a commission to try to eradicate drug addiction, which would be great, right? If we could do that, we'd really be famous. But and so drugs is a huge issue. Infant mortality is a big issue. We have too many children dying before the age of one. Not just from child abuse and neglect, but it could be from, you know, a variety of things, poor prenatal care, things of that nature. So we're looking at that. We have a task force relating to infant mortality. We have another task force that we've identified, of course, which is data. And I'm not exactly sure the title of that, but it's about data and looking around the state to identify, again, the mapping of where services exist, where they don't exist, and where poverty is in the state that might lend itself to abuse and neglect.
And how are you initiating? I mean, are you still on the gathering information stage of this process now without really formulating policy changes or?
Right. I think the last the sessions that we've held as the commission, the meetings that we've had have all been, I think, would be considered information gathering. One whole meeting was about education. And so we had anybody that would touch the life of a child as it relates to their education did a presentation for us so we could see what the issues were in education. And so I think we're still in the gathering of information before we actually will come out with a plan for legislation or policy changes. Would you?
We are. I mean, the issues that we're tackling with regard to mental health, children dying, the link between parental substance abuse and child neglect, they're big topics. So what we're doing is we're putting together task forces that are statewide. So we're getting local and regional input before we come up with a policy suggestion. But the first couple Children's Commission meetings were really, what is the organizational structure of your agency so we can see where their talent pools are, where their resources are. So when you look at the Department of Mental Health, they're tracking certain information on children dying. Department of Child Services, we know in Indiana the second leading cause of children dying is suicide. But we don't put those numbers together so we can start driving policy from what we look like. What do we look like as a state? When we say that we're state in the country with regard to children dying, why is that? And what can we do? To educate the public with regard to the causes and letting the data drive some of the policy as opposed to just kind of throwing things up against the wall.
What have you found, I mean, on a problem like that, you know, Indiana being the fourth worst state in terms of children dying, have you begun to identify causes in any fashion? Director Bonaventura.
I'm not so certain we've yet. I'm sure that every child that dies, we have a cause of death, at least of some
overarching,
idea.
I guess, right. Cultural or societal
right, right.
causes.
And I think that's the whole point of the task force that's been gathered together. We have people from my agency and from the Department of Health, the Board of Health, with Dr. Van Ness, who is the person that has that department. And so they've gotten together and are beginning to discuss what they need to point out as to what the causes are.
We will drill down on that a little bit more. You are listening to No Limits. We're talking about children. My guests are Mary Beth Bonaventura and Indiana Supreme Court Justice Loretta Rush. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about the Indiana Commission on Children. My guests are Department of Child Services Director Mary Beth Bonaventura and Indiana Supreme Court Justice Loretta Rush. Should be joined a little bit later by State Rep Rebecca Kubacki, a Republican from Syracuse. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Or send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Just before we went to the break, we were sort of talking about these. We're still at sort of the problem identification stage with this, and we've talked about the fact that, you know, there are problems of drug abuse. There are too high. The infant mortality rate here is too high. In fact, children of all ages die at a higher rate in Indiana than in many other states. What other problems? Those to me sound like, okay, those are obvious priority items that you would put at the top of the list. What are the other big ones?
The other are mental health, really sort of, services by geography. One of the biggest unmet mental health needs in the state are children. So one of the things we're doing now is mapping, looking at the state of Indiana and where we can access mental health services for our children. The other is we're looking at the link between parental substance abuse and child neglect. Nationally, I mean, most 80% of all child neglect cases have a parental substance abuse component. And really educating parents and educating the public with regard to the toll on children that parental substance abuse takes. And we had one session of the Children's Commission where we sort of put up the Attorney General had this, put up the map of Indiana, here all the methamphetamine lab busts were. And then here in the state of Indiana, here are all the children that have to be taken out of homes because of substance abuse. And, you know, lo and behold, they're all linked up. But, I mean, the toll on children that parental substance abuse and being, you think about a child, I mean, as a juvenile judge, both Judge Bonaventura and I, a child being removed from a meth home, you can't take your blankie, mm-hmm. you know, because of the contamination. So you are removed from your parents, which is traumatic. Sometimes if we don't have enough foster homes, you're split up from your siblings. And it's devastating. So these adult problems don't operate in isolation. They operate. And when you talk about the Children's Commission, and just to go back to one point, mm-hmm. when you deal with the different agencies, when you deal with FSSA, when you deal with the Attorney General's Office, the prosecutors, the Department of Correction, when you get all the players around the table, they're meeting each other for the first time. Mm-hmm. You assume that we're all down there, you know, off Washington and Capitol talking all the time. But
well, no one who's ever observed state government. That
well, thank you, because you're there. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's such a dialogue to going around. Oh, you mean we're dealing with this problem? I'm dealing mm-hmm. with this. So the sort of meet and greet, and we had every agency that deals with children give us their five top issues. What do you think are the biggest problems with children? Mental health was the one. Within the mental health was the substance abuse that Director Bonaventura talked about it. We had improving health care access, improving educational outcomes, juvenile justice reforms. So we had a number of issues that we were all working on, but separately. The National Center for State Courts came in and did sort of an evaluation, and we sort of led this from the judiciary. You know, what are we doing to really improve this, to really have more focused vision for improving, you know, these horrific cases that we're seeing, and the neglect and the abuse and the at-risk? And they found 32 different groups that were working with on these issues, but they weren't working together. When we started looking at a children's commission, we looked at all the legislation out there. There were all these committees and commissions that came together that hadn't met for years.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of, let's try to consolidate those and get ourselves together at the state level and get regional and local input. And really, the model that we've set up in Indiana is a unique model nationally.
Because you've got the three different branches
and the decision makers at the table.
Yeah.
So instead of just sending like somebody that's a designee, you've got, all right, here we are.
And somebody who can't make, make the call or make the commitment. Right. So you're all in the room. What, out of curiosity, what areas have you found where either the responsibilities or the missions or the charges were overlapping, or because I have observed state government at times even conflicting?
Well, I can just speak to our own agencies, the Judiciary and the Department of Child Services. And Justice Rush and I have worked on this for years, and there is a task force to this topic, and that's our crossover youth. So we can have one child who's involved in the delinquency side of what we do and the CHINS side of what we do. So the child could be in foster care or is a CHINS living in their own home or in placement, and they become involved with delinquent behavior or vice versa. We have a delinquent. We find out that the family is in need of services, so the DCS will step in. And so just working our just the court and the DCS trying to figure out how do we deliver services to one family. And when we're so close, well, we do talk together. We have meetings all the time together. And just trying to figure out who owns that that child, so to speak, to be able to deliver services to that child and family. Who's going to pay for it? What services are involved? Can they go into placement? And again, will federal reimbursement money be applied to that child? I mean, there's so many issues. So that's just one area where we have overlapping. And as I said, we have a task force that's Justice Rush calls those kids chilinquents. Mm-hmm. So they're CHINs and delinquents together. And so, you know, that task force is very needed because it touches every county in this state and probably every state in the country as well.
We are talking about the Indiana Commission on Children, really talking about the problems confronting children here in Indiana. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You also can find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to the program today and was just kind of thinking back to an IndyStar article that I had read a couple months ago that was talking about the new regulations that they've tried to get figured out for child care centers, especially those that are like religious based, and the big backlash that was happening with that, when with children dying in unsafe conditions. And I just wanted to see if your guests had any more information about that, where they're at with the push for that, and really how, honestly, I don't understand how it can be when, as we've mentioned throughout the program, we have all these very serious issues. And we're fighting to get something that, you know, should seem, in my opinion, relatively simple to get people to protect these children at these daycare centers. And there's such backlash, and I can't understand it, and would love to hear what your guests have to say about that issue as well.
And I probably will throw that to Director Bonaventura, because if there is anything involving litigation, Justice Rush can't comment on it for ethical reasons.
No wonder she wanted me here.
Yes. Thank you very much for the call and the question, Mary.
Okay, I don't know that I have any answers for Mary other than to say that the Department of Child Services doesn't license any of the daycare centers that goes through the FSSA. We do the investigations when there is abuse or neglect or a fatality at one of those facilities. But as it relates to where it is legislatively, are they going to require them to be licensed, the faith-based ones or not? I don't know the answer to that. As I said, it doesn't come through my agency. We just do the investigation when there is abuse or neglect.
Is this one of the things, though? Let me broaden the question here. I mean, is the administration and effect of child care centers and who oversees them? within the purview now of the Commission on Children?
Well, I'm guessing that it will be in the purview of us to look at it. I don't know that it'll be for us to look at it to say they're doing it right or wrong, but it will be in the sense that FSSA is at the table. And I'm guessing that as we go on and kind of get down into the weeds of really what's out there facing children and families, that topic will come up. It hasn't yet.
There was some legislation this year that did mm-hmm. go through. And I, but Representative Kubaki was just instrumental. While I can't speak on a law or on that, mm-hmm. Representative Kubaki will save that when she calls in, because it's a great question. And she, being the chair of the Children and Family in the House, worked extensively on that issue. But and then the bigger picture with regard to, I think your point's well taken at the overlap with regard to starting to look at issues. How are our kids harmed, and what can we do to make sure the kids aren't harmed? What steps can we take? It's a great question, and I know that this is a big passion of Representative Kubaki.
Yes.
So, John, if we could ask her, if you don't mind, keep
Certainly.
Listening, and when she calls in, if we could ask her that question, because I know she knows that, and I've seen her speak on it many times.
Well, and that raises another question. I mean, when we were in the break and even before we went on the air, the two of you were chatting like old friends, because mm-hmm. you are old
yes.
friends, and you both came up through the juvenile bench, basically,
right.
and have seen a lot of these problems up close. Where do you see the most crying need for, we're talking about really creating an instrument here to reform the way that the state government interacts with troubled children. How, what is the place that we could have the most impact?
Well, I think we did the math one time that between Director Bonham and myself, we had probably physically been in active court hearings involving abused and neglected children over 60,000 hours of hearings. So every time I thought I'd seen everything with regard to a child could be harmed, there'd be a new day and a new way for a child to be harmed. I think the issues are so complex. We've had a big increase in children living in poverty. Just really children's basic needs being met is a problem. It's hard for a child to succeed and do well at school when they're hungry. And then summers are even harder because some of the programs aren't available. Parental input, really safe parenting, community involvement. The one thing I did know is that, the Department of Child Services does not do a good job of raising kids. Love the, the agency's great, but, when you turn your child over and, the average child's in two or three different foster homes, mm-hmm. there's legal orphans that we have now where parental rights have been terminated and they don't have a permanent home. So I think poverty, we need parents to be more eyes on mm-hmm. a lot with their children. If it's a single parent household, we need fathers involved. We need the community to take responsibility and not think always that it's going to be a quick government, that the government can step in and get and answer these, because I think they're not.
Yeah, I think that's a wish list.
And we've been joined now by Representative Rebecca Kubaki, Republican from Syracuse.
Hi, Rebecca.
How are you?
Hi, I'm Mary Beth. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. That was Justice Rush that said hello, but I'll say hello, too.
Well, hi, Justice Rush. How are you?
So, actually, we got a call earlier about child care centers that I should say Director Bonaventura and Justice Rush both kind of kicked down the road to you in terms of what work might be done in regard to providing greater oversight, particularly in regard to safety mm-hmm. for all child care centers, including those that are faith-based.
That was a big issue this year, was a big issue last year, and I think we made great inroads this year in addressing that problem. And I know it becomes, for some reason, it's always spun into a religious thing, and it's not. I don't really care whether it's a child care center, home, or ministry. Across the board, every child should be kept safe. The standards are pretty minimum, and I'm really having trouble wrapping around my head that anybody would object to keeping children safe. And having made the strides that we made this year was huge, because this battle has been going on for years, and we haven't been able to make a dent until this past year.
Could you summarize, because the question was, what was alleged? Could you summarize the legislation that did pass with regard to that issue?
The legislation, really, what it did, it just said if you receive CCDF dollars, you know, federal and state dollars, you have to meet certain requirements. And the requirements, having records available for immunization, having safe transportation, just putting things in place that has to do with everyday child care. There was a portion there that had to do with menus, and that I think all of that was taken out. What was left of the bill was really pretty standard. Child ratios, transportation, safety, just really pretty basic standards. I think another one had to do with fingerprinting, just basic stuff. I mean, it wasn't anything that was so, you know, we're going to dictate what you can eat, what activities you have to have. It really wasn't that stringent. It was pretty generic, common sense standards that we need to have anybody in child care follow.
Where did the opposition come from?
Well, a lot of it came from Eric Miller and Advance America. And they were very concerned. And I, you know what, I'm sympathetic to it. I'm not that if government, if there's government involvement, then they're going to limit what you can do in terms of religious activities and religious instruction. And it's very clearly written in the bill. I think it's page 2 of the bill that says religious instruction and activities will not be addressed. That's not what we're intending to do. If you do that, continue doing that. Our issue is really more the safety standards of things, not what you're teaching your child. It just makes sense to us when you have ratios that you can't have 30 kids in a little building and 2 people watching them. You can't keep a child in a playpen all day long. It was really pretty standard stuff. Their concern was sort of the camel's nose under the tent. And to be quite honest, my response is, if you don't want government intrusion, then don't take government dollars, because there are going to be standards that everybody else has to meet that takes those dollars. You should too. And even the governor said when he signed the bill, it just one of the obligations that we have as a state is to make sure our kids are safe. But secondly, if you take tax dollars, you should meet standards.
We are talking about the Indiana Commission on Children here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. We got a question, actually several questions, from a listener who did not want to go on the air. It says, wants us to talk about ways to help teen pregnancy and to help stop people who do not want children to stop having abortions. There's a lot of stops in there, but... is that within the purview? Is the teen pregnancy an issue that the commission is dealing with?
I think we're going to, well, just so she can help me with this, but that's something I think we need to address. The fatherless families is an epidemic. Hmm. But to me, those are issues that have to be dealt with at a community level, at a church level. You go into any of these churches, how many single moms do you see going there? Very few, because I don't think they feel that they're welcomed. I really do think this is where faith-based organizations in any community can really reach out and help these young girls and say, you have value. You don't have to have... nobody stands up and says, it's not okay to have 3 kids and 3 different dads, and we're going to try to help you understand why. Having a father in the family is so critical, not just in terms of having... a father figure in having role models, but also in a sense when you don't have when you have a child out of wedlock and you're so young, your path is already laid out for you in terms of the poverty level. I was just listening earlier about not being able to feed kids. Well, all of that comes together when you have a child at such a young age, and you don't have a you're not don't have the education you need. You don't have the support that you need.
Rebecca,
I'm sorry.
Representative Kibaki, we'll have to pick that up after the break. You're listening to No Limits.
Oh,
please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the Indiana Commission on Children. My guests are Department of Child Services Director Mary Beth Bonaventura, Indiana Supreme Court Justice Loretta Rush, and State Representative Rebecca Kibaki, who's a Republican from Syracuse. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Twitter is WFYI, or you can do what Kara did and find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. Her question is, how are foster parents involved with this commission? We are foster parents and adopted a sibling group in 2012. I think the input from foster/adoptive parents would be very helpful and needed. I'll throw that one open to any one of the three of you who would
like
it.
You know, isn't it just this is Justice Rush, but yes. All three, Representative Kibaki, Director Bundy, and myself, we're all adoptive parents, so we all have
That's a source of connection.
And then Director Bundy, with regard to foster parent input, it's a valuable part. If you want to speak on that,
well, we have a division that deals just with foster parents and training and contracting and all of that. And so they've been at the table, in fact, did a presentation about, issues that relate to foster care. But I would say that if there's any foster parent out there that feels that they want to come to the commission, it's open to the public. I think we haven't had anybody that's come forward to speak to that.
When do you meet? I mean, how do they do that? How would they go
We have a website that we're going to give you before you leave today. And meetings live
streamed.
We can
throw out the URL here.
Yeah.
So.
We have we're live streamed. The commission meetings are open. We have task force. We're putting the minutes, the location of the task force, because one of the priorities that we did list was foster care reform. And having been a juvenile judge and talking to foster parents and inviting foster parents into the court on all the cases, I think they have the children. They have a lot of information with regard to that child, and their input's important. So when you start talking about foster care reforms, their input's invaluable. And I know that some of the task force have reached out to direct care providers such as foster parents and included them into the membership of their task force. I could look that up, but I do have that, and we do have some of those groups involved.
So Justice Rush will give information out so that they can find out when the meetings are going to be held and where they're held, because they are open to the public. But I would say that if there's anybody out there that has a concern about foster parenting or adoption, that they should contact our agency if it's, you know, a case-specific issue.
How should they go about doing that? Do you have the contact information?
I can get that information for you. I don't even know my own phone.
Your own phone?
Because I don't call myself.
I've got her cell phone, so I could give you her cell phone.
No, don't do that.
She probably would be very grateful for
that. The Children's Commission, it's www.in.gov/children. For the Children's Commission, and really all of the contact information, because if you go on that, you will see the Department of Child Services contact information under the members of the commission and Director Bonaventura. You have the link to the Department of Child Services.
If you want to find, we've gotten a question also from a listener via Twitter. If you want to tweet us, you can do so at WFYI. And this is a listener named Gary who says, I wonder how much of that, he says, related to 80% of parents charged with neglect dealing with substance abuse problems, wonders how much of that is alcoholism versus illegal substances. I bet alcohol is the elephant in the room.
Well, I think that alcohol and drugs kind of go hand in hand. I think that it's seldom a case where we just have someone who's using substances and not alcohol. Usually they go together. My guess is, and probably statistics would show, that most children begin with alcohol because that's something most households have. And so they start drinking. You know, their first drink oftentimes happens in their own very own home. I don't know those numbers. It would be interesting to see I'm sure that someone has those statistics as to what percentage is just strictly alcohol and what is strictly substances like, you know, marijuana, methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin. My experience, and I'm sure Justice Rush's experience, too, is that there's a combination of both being used in most of those households.
In our district, because we're in Kosciuszko County, in our district, it's meth. How many kids are taken from their homes or end up in DCS because their parents are addicted to meth? And we have a huge problem. I know you've seen that in the state of Indiana, we're rated number one again for meth labs. I've seen a real spike in just in our own little, in our community and in school, the way kids that come from homes that are where the parents are meth addicts, their learning processes is so inhibited because they grow up in that environment where you have the chemicals all the time.
We did. The Children's Commission did ask the Department of Child Services, and I think that question is really good, Gary, because we asked them, could you give us a breakdown? I mean, of the children that are removed, what percentage are removed because of what? And that would include, I mean, alcohol. You know, as a judge and having sat on the juvenile bench, I had a large number of children that had diagnosis of fetal alcohol syndrome and the effects. Yeah. So it's the interplay between the parent making sure the child's meeting their developmental milestones and their use.
Yeah.
And early statistics will show us that we have about 35% of our cases involved with marijuana. And about 20%, the next type of drug is methamphetamine. And then after that, a variety of, you know, prescription medications, heroin, and things like that.
We are talking about the work of the Indiana Commission on Children here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Pam, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
I actually had a comment regarding the topic earlier about young girls and the pregnancy rate of single moms, and it was mentioned that the fatherless home is an epidemic, and then you guys directly went into talking about the girls and how they need to be more welcome in church, and I didn't hear anything about the young boys leaving those homes and how maybe we also need to start changing the vernacular a little bit, because I think when young boys hear they're focused so much on girls, it's very easy for them to subconsciously think it is really not for them to raise those kids subconsciously and make it easier to leave those homes, if that makes sense.
Good question. Thanks very much for the call, Pam.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pam. I couldn't agree more. I think that as an industry, if you want to call us that, and child welfare and probably the judiciary too, in my 31 years of hearing the cases, I think that it's very easy for us to pick on the girl because, you know, they're the ones that carry the children and oftentimes end up having custody, or their mothers and family members have those children. But I think that we sell men and boys very short, in that if we expect them to be fathers, then we have to include them from the beginning. And so, you know, even as a young person myself, you would hear about all these classes for pregnant teen girls, but nothing for the boys, because those girls don't get pregnant by themselves. And so we need to include boys and fathers in a way we never have before. And I'm very proud that the Department of Child Services and courts around the state are requiring dads to take part in fatherhood initiatives. And we have contracts all over the state to provide for parenting classes for dads to engage them at very early stages of a mother's pregnancy, so that they want to support their children, and B, take part in their lives. And when the fathers can't step up, that the father's family is a placement option if it comes to that, if the child has to be removed from the mother.
Do you have any evidence at this stage of the effectiveness of these approaches or programs?
It would only be anecdotal. I don't have any, you know, statistical numbers to show you or to give to people to let them know how effective it is, but I can assure you that if we have one father more than we did last year, it's successful.
Yeah.
We've gotten an email question from a listener named Donna, who says, thank you for having this program. I have 35 years experience in and around public health nursing and mental health. New to Indiana, I'm already involved with services to women and children who are homeless. Women are leaving abusive situations, even if this means temporary homelessness. Saw this in San Francisco and Cincinnati and Indiana. Also positive, solid, coordinating programs for addicted parents and treatment and their ability to stay connected with their children. Dual services to indigent mothers strongly improves prenatal care and decreases low birth weights. Public messages which are not afraid to state the facts. Children's Defense Fund is a great example. Thanks again for your program and work. I'm going to take this in a different – you've all had a lot of experience in dealing with the issues confronting children. We sort of asked what the immediate priorities are. What do you think, just based on your experience – I'm not going to ask you to speak for the commission, everyone on the commission here – each one of you, what do you think is going to be the most difficult of these problems to make headway with? And Rebecca Kubacki, Representative Kubacki, I'll start with you on that one.
Well, that's a difficult question because you're going in and out, and I didn't get all of the question. I'm kind of in a dead zone here, so I got half of your question.
What's going to be the most difficult problem confronting children to solve?
I really do think the issue of homelessness and mothers that are homeless now, and it kind of all goes back to sort of the lack of education. You're setting yourself up to a situation that is going to be unpleasant, not just for the mother, but for the for the child. And we've got to make sure that these mothers, these young mothers, stay in school and get their education, find resources out there to help them, whether it's daycare that they need help with. We need to help these mothers make sure that they are educated so they can start providing, even if you're a single mom, to be able to provide for your child. And that comes through having an education. You get a mother that's educated, and that child is just automatically going to start having an opportunity for a better life.
Justice Rush.
I wish you had another hour, but I think the number one thing would be just the sense of urgency. You know, we really can tell how we're doing as a society with how we treat our children.
Yeah.
And making the issue of good developmental care for preschool care for children, really making sure children get through, giving schools the support they need, because, you know, education is a key. But we need to look just as a society, as, you know, as Hoosiers. Are we going to put our children, the needs of our children, in the forefront? And it's going to get tough. I mean, we're going to probably have some policy recommendations that have a cost to them. And it might be time, talent, or your money. So, one, we want to identify the issues, get the data to show the issues, and then bring it to the state of Indiana when we start saying we want to have a shift in thinking that we have these children, that they are our responsibility, and we have to realize we can do better and not settle into the fact that, well, it's always been like this. We've always been in the bottom of these numbers, and that's good enough. It's shameful.
Director Bonaventura.
You know, it really comes down to you pay now or you pay later.
Yeah.
It's really when you start thinking about tax dollars. You either pay now to have these kids educated or you pay later when they become a part of the system because we haven't educated them.
And I agree with both Representative Kubacki and Justice Rush on what they've identified. But as I've told the staff and others that have the misfortune of having to hear me talk, that we work in a crisis mode in the Department of Child Services. We're an emergency room there. So what I see is that our biggest challenge is going to be about drug addiction and drug treatment. I think that's probably the biggest gap we have in this state is effective drug treatment for people, because you cannot send your children to school or effectively parent them if you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Mm-hmm. And if we could get rid of that problem, kids would go to school because they'd have parents that were responsive and doing the right thing by them to get them there. So I think that the number one, at least from where I sit, is good, effective drug treatment, which takes money, and for parents and children that are involved with drugs. And then I think secondly, what we see in a lot of the homes where we have fatalities and removals is domestic violence. And oftentimes addiction and domestic violence go hand in hand.
We are talking about the work of the Indiana Commission on Children. Dee, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I was lucky enough that I got Judge Bonapinjero. My son went through an incident at school by being manipulated and bullied into committing an illegal act, and I stood by the judge. I'm all for justice, and if you're doing something illegal, get punished for it. But as my son was a special needs child, there was no outlet for him. There was no programming. Along with the justice system, can't they work hand in hand with special needs or even children with not special needs to have a program where they can help him them learn how to not be manipulated, how not to be bullied? The school systems do not. The school system that I'm in does not have that safety net. It's right away you're presented as a criminal, and that's the way they treat you continuously through the 4 years in the high school. So I believe our children need a safety net through the justice system to learn how not to be manipulated, bullied into doing illegal activities.
Thanks very much.
Is there any future in a program for this?
Thanks very much for the call and the question. We'll try to get an answer for you. And Rebecca, Representative Kubacki, I'm going to let you start first. We've got about 2 minutes left.
You know what? I'm sorry, because there must be a technical difficulty because I don't hear the question.
Okay, we'll toss that to Director Bonaventura then.
Well, I agree. I think that the schools, there's probably some schools that do this very well with bullying. Bullying is such a huge national topic. And I think that, you know, we're nowhere near solving that problem. But I do think that as a commission, we need to look at what is available through our schools. As a state, we need to be concerned about kids that are involved in bullying as the bully and being bullied. But I do think that we need to improve the services that are out there for both the bully and the bully, the child that's being bullied. So I agree with that.
And she was really, I think, also the larger subject is, Where are there gaps now in how we provide for children who have special needs? Where does that fall on the commission's list of priorities, Justice Rush?
Well, one of the things that we're looking at right now, and there's a program called Juvenile Detention Alternatives, which are we're trying to divert kids away from the juvenile justice system that don't need to be in by really looking at their risk and looking at their needs. And the last thing you want to do is put a low-risk child with special needs in a high-risk population because it could make them worse. So we're working, and there's lots more work to be done to identify the individual child's needs to get them, if they can get in a diversion program where they're safe and the community is safe, that's the way to go so that they don't have the consequence or the collateral consequence of having a juvenile delinquency label and all that comes with that.
And I think probably that will have to be the last word. I would like to, we've been talking about the Indiana Commission on Children. I'd like to thank my guests, Representative Rebecca Kubacki from a Republican from Syracuse, Representative Kubacki, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
And also Department of Child Services Director Mary Beth Bonaventura, thank you for being here, even with a bit of a sore throat. We appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you.
And Indiana Supreme Court Justice Loretta Rush, thank you very much, John, for being here. You have been listening to No Limits. I am John Kroll. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations. We'll be right back.